This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hello, hi, welcome, greetings, bienvenue, bienvenidos, guten tag, is that something? Listen, welcome to Punch Up the Jam. If you missed it, this is a weird two-part episode. By weird, I mean special and good and like it hasn't been discovered yet. Do you know what I mean? Because we have a two-week gap between pre-taped studio recorded episodes and then the last two episodes of me and Demi on the podcast, which will be the next two after this, the XOXO and the Bumper Shoot live tapings. And those shows are going to be so sick. Highly suggest sticking around for those. After that, the show will go on with me. And I'm so excited to talk more about that later. But for now, these are two fun episodes, part one and part two with my dad. It maybe is going to be weird. It's maybe going to be cool. It's maybe going to be kind of sexy. Is that weird?
Not with an old man.
So don't say that.
No, it won't be sexy.
Oh, it won't be sexy. Okay. It's not going to be sexy, but it's going to be cool. So with that said, should we actually just probably start?
Get start.
Okay. Thank you.
Punch it.
It's time for Punch Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Then she lit up a candle and she showed me the way. There were voices down the corridor. I thought I heard them say.
Did you have electricity in the 70s?
I remember some.
This is the spookiest hotel.
Between your mom and me.
What was the joke? Fuck, you were making a sex joke?
No, you said, was there electricity in the 70s? That's when I met your mom.
Chemistry would have been a better word.
Well, you said electricity. I'm sorry. If you
so
said
you
chemistry,
had to make the joke anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's what, you've heard the phrase dad joke? Where do you think it comes from?
Marissa, can you edit all of that out? Thank you so much. I can't have my reputation be damaged like this. I'm sorry, I can't. It's already suffered so much.
Oh God, so true.
So you walked into a hotel, you were like, here's a lady just waiting for my arrival as if she knew I was coming.
Well, he might have had a reservation.
No, he could not have had a reservation. How could you even say something like that? He just told us he was driving, he got tired, and oops, there's a hotel. You think he had a reservation and this is all a long con on us, the audience, our friends? No, he wouldn't do this to us.
Okay, all right.
He clearly went to this hotel and there was a lady waiting for him as if she was expecting him. And he was like, this could be hell. And then she was like, follow me with a candle. I mean, it's literally like Young Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah.
It feels a lot like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Which came out after?
Nice Knockers.
Young Frankenstein came out after Hotel
Frankenstein,
California. Yes, it must have.
No, I think it was before.
74. It was before.
There we go.
So they watched Young Frankenstein and they're like, I have a great idea for a song. This is my conspiracy theory. Hotel California is Young Frankenstein, which actually is a great segue into the punch up I didn't do, which was Hotel Transylvania.
Exactly. Oh, man.
Welcome to Hotel Transylvania.
Yeah, sounds too much like Jason Segel.
Or it's actually just Adam Sandler and it's based on the movie.
Ah.
Now we're getting to our chorus. Are you ready?
So ready.
Are you sure?
Oh, God. Beyond ready.
Welcome to the Hotel California.
Those harmonies are sick.
Such a lovely place.
It's so spooky. Such a lovely face.
Ready a room at the Hotel California.
Oh, nice lick. Nice guitar lick. I take it back what I said, Joe and Don. Great guitar players.
Okay, but what's happening with the bass?
Reggae.
It's really? Oh, you asked me to grab Roxanne by the Police.
Yeah.
I have Roxanne, that.
Yeah.
So you're saying they were trying to sound like the Police when they did this?
Well, listen to the bass. One, One,
So I think it's just two beats.
Yeah, so what you do in reggae a lot of times, one is not the focus. You kind of add the beats after the one. And Henley, one of the reasons...
And three or and two? And two.
Well, and this is and two, but my point is that it's not a standard bass line.
So they were also referencing reggae.
Well, the Police were totally, I mean, the Police were basically punk reggae. That was basically their jam.
I don't know much about music before 1980.
Yeah, that's right. Good point. Well, it was Buddy Holly and that was it. But
all I know is Buddy Holly.
Yeah, Peggy Sue.
Pegasus.
Anyway, so one of the reasons that Henley wanted to pursue this tune is it had that little bit of a reggae flavor, and he saw the Police were getting very popular, and he wanted to jump in on that.
Oh, you category. Think it was intentional?
I think I read that it was, yeah.
Oh my God, the drama.
Well, no, no. If you want to write pop songs, you see what's selling right now. So please, we're very hot. Very hot.
I also feel like the chorus, it kind of feels like they're singing with an accent, but they're not.
Well, ever since
the Beatles. I mean, it really sounds like they're trying to sound slightly Mexican.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, really?
Doesn't it?
Well, I don't know. Maybe.
You don't hear that?
Welcome to the Hotel California.
The hotel. I mean, they say it so weird.
Yeah.
Such a lovely place.
It's so scary. We have to talk about Such a Lovely Face. Who? The hotel has a nice face.
Yeah, good point.
The lady who showed him to his room.
I think it's the lady.
The lady had a lovely face.
I think she did.
Huh.
Yeah. So clearly not Cloris Leachman in Young Frankenstein. Nothing against Cloris. She's a lovely woman, but not in that movie. So.
Cloris Leachman is hot and you're incorrect, but okay.
Not in that movie.
Always hot.
No.
Always hot.
No.
You're incorrect.
People.
Stand correct.
Am I right? No, I'm sitting.
No one will agree with you, Dad. It's 2019.
Cloris Leachman was hot in Young Frankenstein?
She's hot in everything. She's Cloris Leachman.
Oh, for God's sake.
I'm just saying, like, I feel like I have a great privilege here in that I haven't heard this song that many times. I think I've heard it. I've heard the version in Big Lebowski, and I've heard it in grocery stores, Walmarts, wherever the fuck it just plays constantly.
True.
I'm sure I've heard snippets of it enough that I've probably heard the whole song a million times.
Yeah.
But like, I don't have the fatigue from it. So when this does come in, like, I kind of get it. It does a little slap.
Yeah.
Oh, welcome to it just feels really slow after listening to the Spanish version.
Yeah, true.
Welcome to the harmony too. When I was doing the punch up, I was surprised one of them is really cool. It only goes up for one note, otherwise it's all monotone.
Oh yeah.
And then the other harmony's walking down.
They call that a pedal tone.
A pedal tone?
Pedal tone.
I really like harmonies like that.
I do too.
They have good harmonies. And then the place, like whatever the fuck it is, it's so scary.
Yeah.
They really, I feel like, are trying to make this sound like a Halloween song.
Yeah, it does kind of have that sort of Nightmare Before Christmas vibe, doesn't it?
It does. Spooky.
Yeah, yeah.
The song is spooky.
Or maybe more Coco. More Coco.
Coco.
Because it's got the little Mexican influence and the little nightmare. And
Hotel that. California should have been in the Coco song.
It should have been the lead song.
Oh my God, Remember Me? Don't come for Remember Me like that.
Oh yeah, good point.
It's so beautiful.
It is. You're
guys,
so right.
Sidebar, I need everyone to know I made my parents watch Coco when I got here. And
boy, am I glad she did.
Well, what you didn't know and what I'm telling you now for the first time is that I was on the floor. You couldn't see me watching it. I was crying so hard for the last third of that movie. I was trying not to make noise. I had such privilege without you being able to see me while I watched.
Yeah, a little embarrassing.
It's just so beautiful.
When I was a big brother to my little sister, she was 5, I was 18. I took her to see the Aristocats.
Oh my God, I love the Aristocats. The white one was so hot.
Yeah, and we're at the movie theater, and she's their little 5-year-old, and you know, and she's there with, and her little friends are all around there, and I started weeping, and she was
so embarrassed.
Unforgivably embarrassed.
Why did you weep at the Aristocats?
Yeah, there was a couple of nice moments.
Oh my God. Okay, so the chorus, do we have anything else to say about it? Is it just like, it just happened?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, chorus.
Yeah.
I honestly, the narrative is so the focal point of the song for me that I'm like, I want to know what happens in the story.
Yeah.
Does he meet a vampire? Is this from Dusk Till Dawn? The way they just like strum into it.
She got the Mercedes Benz. She got a lot of pretty, pretty boys. She calls friends.
She calls friends?
Yeah, she's got a lot of pretty, pretty boys she calls friends.
Okay.
I think that's specific about the woman who designs jewelry for Michelle Obama now.
Or maybe it's the lady in the doorway.
It is funny. They're like, we're going to commit really hard to a story song with like a kooky narrative,
yeah.
Except two lines just to jab at my ex that kind of don't make any sense in the narrative.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, maybe. They jabbed at Steely Dan. Why not?
They're jabbing at everybody.
Right.
So the lyric was, her name is Tiffany Twisted.
That's what it says?
Her name is Tiffany Twisted.
I did not know that.
Her name is Tiffany Twisted. She's twisted. She drinks with a twist. She's like the Joker in the new movie, Jared Leto's Joker. She's twisted.
She likes jewelry from Tiffany's.
Right. I think that's probably what it is.
Probably.
Because of the Mercedes-Benz thing, right?
Oh, there you go.
So she's got a Mercedes-Benz and she's Tiffany Twisted.
Oh, there you go.
So that's like being like chocolate drunk.
Yeah. Tiffany Twisted means you have an addiction to, okay.
Oh, it's like me and Mike's heart.
I think we just figured something out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she goes to Tiffany's a lot.
There it is.
And she just fucks shit up.
There it is.
Her name is Tiffany Twisted. Does he have to sing it like that? Oh, it's not her name, it's her mind.
Yeah, it's her favorite department store.
Her mind is Tiffany Twisted.
Uh-huh.
That's where your brain just resembles the floor plan of a Tiffany's.
No, I think it's where you're twisted thinking you can't have anything less than a Tiffany's piece of jewelry.
Oh, I've never been in a Tiffany's.
I haven't either.
Really? In your whole life?
Well, I've had breakfast.
That's not funny at all. And I'm furious you just fucking said that.
Folks, come on. That was good.
No one's laughing.
Okay, well, that's because...
Four people crash their car.
That's because nobody under 60 listens to your podcast.
You don't know that? We're huge with boomers.
Okay.
Boomers know how to use phones, and they love podcasting apps.
Okay.
She got a lot of pretty, pretty boys that she calls friends. Tiffany sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
Although I guess her name's not Tiffany. Her mind is Tiffany.
Exactly.
I always have felt like I'm on the outside. I'm a Tiffany on the inside.
I still think it's the lady in the doorway.
It is.
Yeah.
So the lady in the doorway, he like gets to know intimately. And he's like, this lady in the middle of the desert that lives in this hotel loves Tiffany's. And she drives a Mercedes Benz.
So are we just going to accept that she spent the night with him?
I mean, I feel like anytime in the 70s, like a man sung about a woman, it was like, yeah, we slapped
it. Yeah, it was 2 a.m. He stayed at the hotel. Nobody was staying there. She was waiting in the doorway. I mean, They have plenty of room.
So they got a lot of empty rooms.
I think we know what happened there.
That would be actually kind
of
fun.
I'm not judging.
I know you're not. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, if you ran a hotel, you could have sex in a lot of rooms.
You could. A lot of pretty, pretty boys.
Pretty, pretty boys.
Yeah.
She sounds awesome. It reminds me of that Galapagos murder story with the Baroness and all her boys.
Oh, yeah. I remember you told us about that.
It's so interesting.
It was.
Google it if you don't know what I'm talking about. I just want to know more about this lady now. I wish the song would just become like Hotel Rone
Tiffany's
Clora.
Lady.
Whatever that lady's name was.
Yeah, Rone Clora.
Dawn 3 with a W.
Bacon?
And then this part, which I do love. Before you say anything, I just need to play this one more time.
Sweet summer sweat.
You know in the summer when your sweat's sweet?
Not
you know in the summer
never.
When you're sweating and you're like, this is sweet.
Yeah, no, don't know that.
Do you know when you're sweet in the summer and you're sweating?
Well, women don't sweat, I heard. They glow.
What?
They glow.
Glisten, Dad.
Glisten.
When did you hear that? 2001?
I don't know.
We don't sweat. We glisten.
Yeah, my whole life is one big blur. I don't know when I heard anything.
Who are you again? Talk to the hand because the face don't care. I don't sweat. I glisten.
Yeah, that was it.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then for some reason, the Herbal Essences commercial is just also inexplicably there.
Was that like from Bring It On or something? Or
she's got the urge. Natural botanicals. She's got the urge to herbal. And like, I want your bod.
I let you watch too much TV.
That's true. Yeah. You know, wait, can I just say,
as a sidebar,
if I haven't mentioned this on the podcast before, my dad got concerned we were watching too much TV and he made us clock in to watch TV on chess timers.
With a chess timer.
Chess timer.
Well, yeah.
I had to clock in to watch television with a chess timer.
Yeah.
That's extremely funny.
Yeah, so she got 1 hour a day, and if she wanted to watch 5 minutes here, 8 minutes there, she could. She had a chess timer.
That's insane.
End of the day. And if I walk in the room, the chess timer's not on?
Hey.
Well, no. If the chess timer wasn't on, you're done. You're cheating. You're out. No more TV today. No.
It feels like a pretty easy like honor system to hack since you plodded around the house so loudly.
You're editorializing about the weight of my footstep?
Yeah, I could easily just tap it on right before you came in. Also, can we revisit 5 minutes of something, 8 minutes of something? At the end of the day, I'm like, yeah, so I watched the intro to Arthur, and then I watched the middle of Angry Beavers, and I watched the tail end of Ren and Stimpy.
I am a stealthy athlete of a man.
You're still pissed about the footsteps thing.
Oh, yeah.
I know when you're specifically visiting, you know, because you wake up in the morning sometimes and you're like, wait, where am I? Who am I? Where am I doing? You know?
That's every morning.
Every morning. Okay, yeah, of course.
That's in my own house.
I look forward to being old someday.
Exactly.
Anytime you stay at my house, the sound of your footsteps wakes me up and I immediately go, oh, my dad's here.
Oh, that's good to know.
You have a specific cadence to your feet.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Boom, boom, boom. Henry has it too, my brother. You guys both, the steps, a little bit like fee-fi-fo-fum.
I passed it on.
Slight fee-fi-fo-fum energy, yes.
Okay, good to know.
How they dance in the courtyard, sweet summer sweat. He just delighted in saying the stupidest thing.
Wait, I'm confused. So he's exhausted, he's stoned,
and
he's been driving all night.
I think he's doing a time jump post-chorus.
Okay.
So he's been there for a while.
So he had a good night's sleep with Tiffany.
And he's like, now he presumably lives at the hotel.
And now he's dancing with her in the courtyard.
I think he's, no. I think he's
resenting. What time is checkout?
This is so many good questions. I think he resents the maid, the receptionist, the manager, whatever, let's call her Tiffany, whatever her role is.
Yeah.
I think he's now resenting her as he's feeling a little Stockholm syndrome-y, if we may call a hotel a hostage situation.
I see.
And I think he's now resenting her for having handsome friends. Maybe he wants to have sex with them, or maybe...
You know what? He's finally realized he's just another one of the pretty, pretty boys. And it's...
Yes, exactly.
You know, men, we're...
And so he's watching them
dance. Are as fragile as a piece of tissue paper.
I mean, you said it, not me, but yes, men are trash. I would agree.
No, it's so true.
He is watching them dance. He's watching Tiffany and the pretty boys dance.
Okay.
Which again, like, I'm just loving that she's dancing with multiple men at the same time. Yeah. In the 70s, Tiffany,
well,
get it.
Women's liberation.
In the 70s?
Well, that's when it started, in the late 60s, early 70s. It was full vore by 50, 75.
Yeah, but then also you guys were like, you're lucky to get common law marriage, because then you trapped him.
Yeah.
That's pretty strange.
Yeah, you make a good
You're
point.
You're like, let's burn our bras, but also women still suck, right? We can all agree on that.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Okay, some dance to remember and some dance to forget. I actually fucking love that line.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
So far, every line I feel like has only really worked in the song, and that is a line that I could kind of see painted in a bathroom.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Do you know what I mean? That line has made the Target sign section category.
Right.
He leveled up.
George and Shannon should have used that in I Want to Dance with Somebody.
Okay, little background there. George and Shannon are the songwriting duo Boy Meets Girl, my dad's friends, who wrote Whitney Houston's songs I Want to Dance with Somebody and How Well I Know.
Which is why I know.
How Will You Know?
How Well I Know they wrote that. Which is why I know that songwriting,
a hit.
Publishing is where you want to be.
Well, or that maybe like Beyonce gets songwriting credit on every single song she's ever done.
Yeah, because they pretty much haven't had to work since writing those songs.
Right, and also there's like virtually no money otherwise to be made music anymore.
Merch! Selling a t-shirt.
Very sad that that's so accurate. Okay, and then we approach, I think actually my favorite part of the whole song. So I called up the captain, please bring me my wine. He said, we haven't had that spirit
in here since 1969. Okay, that's where he's just gone off into full metaphor. He's, you know, it's kind of literal.
I don't think so, Dad. I think this hotel is on a boat and there's a captain who delivers the wine.
No, the captain's like the sommelier at the, but the thing is, but here's the thing.
That's such a reach. Are you kidding? You go to a nice restaurant and you say, captain, what nice reds do you have?
Yeah, but I'm having a little trouble because he's got the wind in his hair, the sweet sweat.
Yeah.
Everything's literal.
Yeah.
And now the sommelier says, we have not had that vintage since 1969.
No, he actually said
it just goes
spirit.
Full metaphor.
He actually said spirit, of which wine is not.
Ooh.
Also, before I tell you about his quote about saying it was a spirit when it wasn't, which I do need to read, I just need to listen to this just one more time. Please bring me my wine. I just think there's such a missed opportunity for this to be a recurring soundbite in every like wine wife's life. You know, from the bathtub screaming to her husband or wife,
please bring me my wine.
I left the wine in the kitchen and now I'm in bed. Please bring me my wine.
I think that's good.
Please. I just don't ever want to go to a bar again and order a glass of wine if I ever were to drink again and say, please bring, just see what happens.
Yeah, right.
Does anyone get it?
It won't irritate anybody. I guarantee it.
Here's the thing. I already am so irritating that being more irritating, it's almost like having Adderall and taking speed. Wait, what?
Well, they kind of cancel
having
each other
ADD
out, though.
ADD and taking Adderall.
Whatever.
The more annoying I get, the more powerful I become.
I haven't had a line since 83, so I don't know what.
So John Soder bravely asked Henley if he regretted writing the line, so I called up the captain and the spirit thing, whatever. Because wines are fermented while spirits are distilled.
Aha.
He actually asked him directly.
Well, so for the listeners, wine would be 69, wouldn't be a spirit. Vodka would be a spirit, but nobody gives a shit about the year of vodka. Is that what I'm getting?
I don't know what the since 19, I don't think that's like a vintage. I think he's just saying we stopped serving wine in 1969.
Yeah, I think he's talking about the vintage.
But I think this is probably all a metaphor. Okay,
it's so all metaphorical about how the ever since Charles Manson, the hippie movement went to hell.
Wait, did that happen in 69?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 69 was also Woodstock. By the way, happy 50th Summer anniversary today, Woodstock.
Today?
Today.
The day we're recording?
Well, it's 3 days, but yeah.
You don't know when we recorded. It's today.
Yeah. but after Woodstock, then Charles Manson happened, and the 60s were basically over. And then Altamont happened with the Stones. A guy got stabbed, and the 60s
what?
Were over. Yeah.
See, here's the thing. I didn't like my history teacher, and also they don't teach this in school. So where would I have learned it?
Yeah, Altamont was like supposed to be the next Woodstock, and the Stones were the headliners, and a guy got killed by the Hell's Angels. And it kind of...
I did know that.
Yeah, that was kind of the end of... the 60s. It kind of was over.
Well, literally, 70 was the end of the 60s.
Well, yeah, but the 60s were kind of...
The energy of the hippie movement was pretty...
It was more 70s.
Extinguished by the murder.
I would say Watergate really extinguished the hippie movement, but yeah.
Wait, wouldn't that have been a boon for the hippie movement?
Watergate?
Yeah. We were right. This guy sucks.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that actually did happen. In fact, your step-grandfather, my stepfather, ended up going hard right to hard left after Nixon got busted.
Nixon swung him?
Totally. We used to argue all the time because I would, you know, say Nixon's an asshole. And he'd say, no, he's the president. Kind of like something's happened now. And after Watergate, he not only went left, he went beyond me to the left. He was like Noam Chomsky left. It was it was quite a thing.
Well, that's an interesting story.
Yeah, I know. Not bad.
Okay, so here's what Don Henley said when this John Slaughter asked him. Thanks for the tutorial. And no, you're not the first to bring this to my attention. And you're not the first to completely misinterpret the lyric and miss the metaphor.
Ah.
Which honestly, I mean, Henley definitely seems like a dick, you know, outside of this as well. But in this interview, I'm kind of on his team. Because what the fuck's wrong with you that you're like, your lyric's wrong?
Yeah.
It's like the biggest well, actually, when you're talking to a rock legend. Like, what were you fucking thinking?
Yeah, you're not going to win that argument.
He says, believe me, I've consumed enough alcoholic beverages in my time to know how they are made and what the proper nomenclature is. But that line in the song has little or nothing to do with alcoholic beverages. It's a sociopolitical statement. My only regret would be having to explain it in detail to you, which would defeat the purpose of using literary devices in songwriting and lower the discussion to some silly and irrelevant argument about chemical processes.
And by saying all that, he kind of already did that.
Yeah.
You know.
But he just had to dunk on him.
Yeah,
though.
I know.
You have to. He set him up.
Yeah.
He ooped him for a dunk.
Yeah, he threw him.
He had to take the dunk.
He threw him a lob. Threw him a softball.
Yeah, but no, apparently it is a metaphor for social activism, so you're exactly correct about
that.
There
we go.
Great job.
Oh, thanks.
I think it's pretty...
You know, I was there.
I don't think it's a good metaphor, personally. He's like, so then I called to the captain. I still don't know why he said captain. Is captain something you ever called somebody who procures you alcohol?
No, captain is a role in a restaurant.
Captain?
Yeah.
I was a sous chef of a restaurant for 3 years. I never heard this.
Not in the 60s, you weren't.
Was a sous chef the captain?
I don't know.
The floor manager?
I don't know. Look it up. Somebody.
The sommelier was the captain.
Yeah, I don't know. There was a captain and the wait staff.
The captain?
I think so. Look it
up. I don't think... Okay, it may be true. Yeah. You know what? Maybe restaurant nomenclature expired in 1970. I don't know.
Exactly.
Okay, then he goes on to say...
And still those voices are calling from far away.
That part rules. Don't in your head, doesn't he go, say...
Yeah.
No.
No.
Hard stop. Say...
Tell me the lyrics on that again.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
And still those voices are calling from far away.
From the 60s.
And still those voices are calling from far away. Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, that part, I like how they throw the rhythm. It's quite
nice.
Sick.
Nice vocal.
Oh my God, thank you. I've only been singing this song for 2 days straight.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Wake you up in the middle of the night just to hear them say, welcome to Hotel California.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me. Who's waking you up in the middle of the night?
I think the thoughts of what came before us and how dark and twisted it's become because we've been sucked into what
disco.
Is it?
Disco.
Disco? Yeah. Capitalism?
Disco.
Consumerism?
Yeah.
A different digit in the year every time you have to write it down.
I know.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Hotel California.
It still slaps.
Ooh, that's a harmonic. That's hard to do.
Oh, his voice broke.
They're living it up at the Hotel California. What a nice surprise. What a nice surprise.
I just need you to know that's not the end of the song.
No, I know.
They do a hard stop. I honestly think they like accidentally taped a whole chunk of the tape with no tape under it.
Yeah.
I'm using the word tape to mean two things, but you understand, right?
Yeah.
I think there's just a gap in the tape.
Ah.
Because in what world would you have cut everything?
Well, maybe they had all these pieces around their neck and a guy stepped on some and there's just a...
I like the narrative you're writing.
Yeah, there we go.
Keep going.
No, so they had a fucked up... They had to fuck that piece. So they said to put some leader in there. And
what was like? What was this man's motive?
I had no motive. He just was... drunk and stoned. And
what's he look like? You know?
Yeah, he looks like a...
What does he want to be in life?
Short sleeves, white shirt, black tie.
tie.
A little black thin tie, because that's what he had to wear in the studio.
It looks dusty. It looks like it got rolled under the bed.
Yeah.
He changes the words here, which I do like.
Okay.
And that harmonic, just for non-guitar players, can you explain what a harmonic is?
Well, yeah. So if you heard that little lead guitar, yeah.
Kind of like that. It sounds like
really
an asshole.
Yeah. Harmonic is like an octave above where you're playing, and it's hard enough to play to hit the pick just right so you get that. But then he also bent the harmonic.
So it's like a half hit on the string.
Yeah, it's like a half
hit. So if you hit the whole, if you hit the string hard, it's going to sing the tone that you're actually playing.
It's kind of a half hit, but you also have to hit it right at the right place on the string.
For it to actually sound an octave higher than what you're playing.
And then he did it, and then he bent the harmonic.
So like a
hard to do.
How do you, I'm just confused how you can physically do that.
Well, because you hit the harmonica with your right hand, or if you're right-handed guitar player.
But if you're not pressing the string all the way down.
But you're on your left hand, you're pressing, and then you bend it with the harmonic intact. It's not easy to do.
It's honestly
very stunning. Impressive.
I do really like that part.
Yeah.
But I also don't know what he's talking about anymore.
Yeah, I know.
The metaphor has kind of not working for him, me anymore, because he kind of turned it into like America for a second.
So you're saying, what's the metaphor?
Wow, Dad snaps.
Deep?
That was great.
Okay.
Such a lovely place, such a lovely face. So he's still talking about this woman, even though he's now talking about this broad concept of like America's different now.
You can't call women broads. It's completely incorrect.
Oh my God. And then he says, what a nice surprise. Bring your alibis. Because they're going to murder? This is pre-OJ.
No.
I don't know what it means either.
No, I think he just found a cool word. Alibi is a cool word. You have to give me that.
So I'm just trying to like follow the metaphor. If this is supposed to be like the way like California destroys your soul or something, I guess kind of is the general gist.
Okay.
So once you check in, it's like,
right.
You become glum. It's like how people get like so much like work done when they live in LA, just because like the fishbowl brain, it becomes like so normal to you, you know?
And
it feels super standard when you're here.
Okay.
But then what did that have to do with anything he just said?
Yeah. What's that got to do with alibis?
I honestly don't know what else to say. Cause it's like, this song has been talked about so much.
Then let's move on.
Okay. I included the tag end of the chorus because I need everyone to know how long the gap is until the music comes back in.
Okay.
Isn't that insane?
Cool.
They pink champagne on ice, and she said, we are all just prisoners here of our own device.
Now that's a pretty cool phrase. Prisoners of our own device.
I really do like that, but what does it mean? We decided to be here, and so we created our own jail?
Yeah, exactly.
What is mirrors on the ceiling? So you can watch yourself have sex?
Yeah.
And then pink champagne on ice, same thing?
No, that's just you're getting drunk. You got the mirrors. Mirrors on the ceiling are kind of mean you're in sort of a kinky spot.
Right.
And then
Chateau Marmont.
Yeah. And then there's mirrors where you chop the cocaine, and there's the alcohol and the champagne. Yeah.
Oh, right. You can use mirrors for cocaine.
Yeah.
Also, Chateau Marmont, as far as I know, does not actually have mirrors on the ceiling. It just... In my head, it's like the fanciest hotel.
It vibes that well. Oh, it's not that fancy. It's kind of a sleazebag place, but it is where a lot of rock stars went.
One time, I was in their bar, and I got kicked out because Prince came.
Fucking Prince again.
I got to see Prince in
real life. On the ceiling playing drums?
No, he went to like a private back room. I can only imagine what he did back there.
He had a private bathroom?
I mean, I'm sure also that. I also read that while they were on the tour for Hotel California, I don't remember which member, one of the Dons, I think, brought his own mattress to every hotel.
Yeah.
Wait, do you understand what I just said? Mattress.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
That's insane.
What I remember is that Joe Walsh was the king of destroying hotel rooms.
Really?
Yeah, he learned it from Keith Moon of The Who, because they were on tour together. Yeah, The Who. And apparently Irving Azoff, the manager, frequently had to cover his ass.
How do you cover your ass when you've physically destroyed things?
You have to pay.
I didn't do it.
You have to pay. No. He would admit it. Mm. But you just have to pay the hotel manager $37,000 because you
is
fucked
that
up.
True?
The room. Yeah, totally true.
$37,000?
Oh, easily.
Which in today's standards is $40 million.
Yeah, no, they were abusive.
Yeah, that's again what I'm saying. It's like, pretty frustrating to me. I think part of why I've maybe consciously like avoided learning any of this stuff or even being aware of it, like it's kind of a silent protest because I'm like, I don't really agree that this should be given so much attention or be so idolized, because it's just like men behaving like babies. And no one else could get away with that.
Yes. Well,
no one else.
No movie stars can get away with it.
But again, like cis straight white dudes.
Oh, well, yeah, that's probably true.
Although I did watch it.
You are aware that men and white people have had a great deal of privilege that non-men and non-white people have had for a long time.
I just feel like this one is for some reason a hard pill for me to swallow.
Yeah.
Because I just think about, like, they weren't talented enough to be this much of an asshole. Although maybe no one is.
No, it's not the talent. It's the wealth.
That makes me sick.
I know.
That sucks.
Well, get used to it.
What is it about getting more money that makes you have less empathy? That's insane to me. Have you never worked a service job in your life? You don't know how much you're fucking up people's lives by just because you feel like it.
I think the world of the rock and roller, the successful rock and roller, can be very myopic and not normal life.
Oh, fucking fine. Okay, so they're fucking and they're having a great time and oops, maybe we're actually trapped here.
Yeah.
What if we are?
Yeah.
Spoiler, they are.
Yeah.
And in the master's chambers, they're gathered for the feast. They stab it with their stealing eyes, but they just can't kill the beast.
Those drums! I loved the toms and then that, like, what was that? Ba-ba-da-da-bum-ba-boom. What was that drum?
Yeah, it was a tom-tom and a floor tom, but basically, that's Don Henley. He's, again, a perfectly good, serviceable drummer, but not the most exciting drummer in the world.
Yeah, like that, it just sounded like, out in the street, they call it murder. Welcome to Jam Rock. Like, what just happened? They might as well throw like a steel drum in there. It was insane.
Ooh, they could have put a nice steel drum in there. That would have been good.
Just like a bar.
Yeah.
Of Under the Sea, which hadn't come out yet. That's what I should have done. Hotel Under the Water. No, this isn't funny. I'm really sorry. I'm still talking. That was the Steely Dan reference.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in the master's chambers, they're gathered for the feast. They stab it with their steely knives, but they just can't kill the beast.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a really cool image, but like definitely I'm thinking if we're still going Disney Pixar movies, imagining Brave now.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's a big hall and there's a pig, a wild hog.
Yeah. Perhaps. Throwing bones over their shoulders.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually my favorite lyric of the whole song.
Really? Why?
Yeah, I don't know. Stab it with their steely knives and cannot kill the beast. I just think that's a great image. You know, and without regard to Steely Dan. In fact, I think the whole Steely Dan thing is kind of ridiculous. But
I think it was supposed to be like a fun reference, right?
Yeah.
It's like, well, you talked about us, we'll talk about you.
Something like that. But,
Circle Jerk.
But I wish I didn't know that because I liked the lyric before that.
Oh,
just,
no.
Just for its own, you know, literary credibility.
I ruined Eagles for you.
You did. The Eagles.
I said Eagles that time.
I know. I was correcting you just because I'm an asshole.
Well, you're my dad, so I do get it.
That's what we do.
I just am curious, like on the non-metaphor level, what it's supposed to mean. In the master's chambers, they're gathered for the feast, but as presumably they'd be eating the beast and it's not dead and it won't die. So they're not eating anything. It's Grendel. I get it now.
Ah, okay.
I did pay attention in English class.
Yeah. I never thought about that.
I mean, it's just like the metaphor even actually confuses me. Let's forget the Steely Dan thing. This hotel, there's like not the captain, the master.
Yeah.
And his room is where it's at. That's where they throw the parties and they have the big old feasts, which in my mind it's like grapes and turkey legs.
Yeah.
When else do you call it a feast?
Well,
that line in Christmas Carol, founder of the feast, yeah, indeed.
No, I'm thinking of a large ham hock that they're
fighting over.
Yeah,
and they can't kill it. It's a cool image, but I don't understand what the fuck they're talking about. And like, truthfully, that's kind of what's frustrating about a song with this much lore is it's like maybe it's just nothing.
Yeah.
And we've just all looked into it too much.
It's a good lyric.
Should we move on then?
Yeah.
Last thing I remember, I was running for the door.
The guitars.
I had to find the passage back to the place I was before. And relax the nightmare.
Right here, listen. He became Bob Dylan.
He did. Totally. And that's a great lyric.
Yeah.
You can check it anytime you like.
But why did he become Bob Dylan for one line?
I don't know.
Relax in the night, man. We are programmed to receive.
By the way, in a restaurant that provides formal service, such as fine dining establishment or cruise ship, the staff will typically include a captain. In France, the captain may be referred to as the chef de rang, or in England, a head waiter.
Front of house.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why I don't know about it.
You should know.
Wow. Thank you for looking that up. I stand so corrected.
Yeah, you know.
Also, never heard that in all my years in restaurants, but that's crazy.
There you go. There you go. So So read the beginning. I couldn't understand.
Last thing I remember, I was running for the door. I had to find the passage back to the place I was before. Relax, said the night man. We are programmed to receive. You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave.
Good lyric. Yeah. No, that was definitely Dylan.
Right?
Yeah.
Which I don't hate. I think Dylan's lyrics are some of my favorite, but
they are.
The impression was a bit much.
Early Dylan. Yeah.
Yeah, early Dylan. Yeah, Come on. Yeah. Come on.
Sorry.
Come on.
Yeah.
So he's in the feast and I guess he's like, uh-oh, saw something. It's like Midsummer. Sorry, spoiler. He sees something he's not supposed to see. He's like, I'd actually love to leave now. And the night man's just like smoking a joint in the corner. He's like, yeah, man, that's not going to happen, brother. Hey, brother.
You can never leave.
You can never leave, brother.
I think it's metaphor for like trapped in your own mind. That's what I think.
Or is it once you have a taste of fame that you spend the rest of your life chasing that? Oh. Or is it like California changes like you?
Well, it's an interesting question because, you know, Henley and Eagles broke up for 10 years. He did a couple of records. Then they got back together and they kept chasing fame. I mean, they all chased the money because it's amazing money.
Right.
And then Fry died and you're going, well, you know, Henley's like 70. And, you know, Fry's dead. I mean, that's his partner, his business partner, his singing partner, his everything, his songwriting partner. And it's like, you know, okay, so it's time to hang it up. Nope. He went and got Glenn Fry's son.
And he got Duncan? Dugan?
Somebody.
Deacon?
And then he got Vince Gill, a terrific singer and guitar player. Terrific guitar player. People don't know that about Vince Gill. And basically all that there is just Don Henley is the only lead singer.
Yeah, he's the only one that's been in the band
and
the whole time.
Continuing. So, yeah, maybe he is trapped in his own chasing fame, you know?
Oh, my God. What if it's a self-fulfilling prophecy?
Exactly.
They wrote Hotel California, and then their lives became Hotel California.
Maybe he's addicted to cocaine again, too.
Cocaina? Yayo?
Or what?
All up in your nail?
What did he call wheat?
Colitas.
Colitas.
Warm smell of colitas. I don't like it.
I like it.
Okay, that's the end of the words of the song.
Yeah.
Before we get into the solo, should we take a tiny baby ad break?
Sure.
Okay, bye. And we're back from break. Yay, that was so much fun. I love reading ads. I'm so good at it.
You're the bomb.
Thanks. So now I thought it would make more sense to just play the whole solo and ride with it than to try to dissect it piece by piece, because what could you even say?
Yeah, good point.
It is, however, like 3 minutes long. So this is basically the rest of the song. Half of the song is a guitar solo, dueling guitar solos. Let's do it.
Which was
what
considered by many the best recorded guitar solo ever recorded. So that's, I guess I just
was redundant. You did say that.
I said recorded twice. Sorry.
The tone of the guitar.
Yeah.
Ooh!
So this is Felder. This is the guy that wrote the song. They called him Captain Fingers.
Captain Fingers?
Captain Fingers.
It's so stinky.
Yeah, he's stinky. He's really good. And then Joe Walsh answers.
This is a totally different guitar.
Yeah, just a little rock and roll, more rock and roll.
What?
Yeah. Beautiful.
This is all Joe still.
This is all Joe. This is still Joe Walsh.
Whoa.
And now they had some parts they kind of worked out a little bit.
Harmonizing guitars. What was that? It sounds so much like another song.
Yeah. Ah! And here they're harmonizing.
This is insane.
Yeah, they're really good players.
Just writing this is insane.
And now the iconic part. Randy Meisner pounding the bass.
This is crazy how long this goes.
Yeah. Well, also, they just did this. They're going, you know, I like that so much. Let's just do it again. And here we go.
The drummer got a fill.
Yeah.
Oh, it fades out?
I don't remember it fading out, but I guess it does. Especially since they're just doing the same like they just got through doing. So it's like, enough is enough.
I can't believe it doesn't end with like a big like.
Oh, actually, yeah. On live, it goes na da 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 ba da da da. Because I do remember.
I can hear that.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, as much as it like, as much as it has been said before, that does shred.
Yeah. No. It's a great solo.
It's a great solo.
And I, you know, I prefer Robin Ford, Larry Carlton, Jay Graydon, but I gotta say those two guys are great guitar players.
It's just such a cool idea. What if we had dual? I mean, listen, it's also just like so annoying on some level.
Well,
what if we had guitars like fucking or fighting?
What's cool is that two great guitar players could coexist in the band.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, because most bands, you know, there was a Jimmy Page or there was a, you know, a George Harrison or there was, but this is one of the few bands where two really good players coexisted, and it's to all accounts got along really well.
Huh.
Yeah, they got along really well.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, weird song that I don't feel like had ever really been made before and maybe never made again.
Nope, I agree, except for, you know, that Jethro Tull little slip up.
But I just mean like structurally too, it's like verse, it's like long intro, verse, chorus, yeah. Verse. Ends with no chorus.
Then a break and then verse.
Yeah, there's no, yeah. It doesn't end on a chorus, though. Yeah. There's only two choruses in the whole song. Yeah,
no, it's true.
And then 3 minute solo,
right.
2 minute solo, whatever
yeah.
it was.
No, it's cool.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty revolutionary at the time.
However, that sounded like 100 songs to me.
Yeah.
And I can't remember which one, but I feel like one of them's on Guitar Hero.
Yeah, probably.
It's like, ba-na-na, ba-na-na, ba-na-na.
But I do remember, because I was, you know, 26 or something. I do remember when that came out. And it was, I remember Queen came out with Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
And that was like, what the fuck is this?
Music's
is
different
that?
Now.
And that solo and that tune did the same thing.
Wow.
Yeah. It was like, this is amazing. Who even thinks like this? So.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was good.
I kind of wish I could have been alive then just to have witnessed it.
65 to 75 was pretty awesome time to be alive musically.
Yeah, so. I know. And now I'm like, what did I get? Backstreet Boys?
Smashing Pumpkins?
No, that was kind of before my time.
Oh.
Yeah, I was born in 89.
Okay, I want it that way.
That's pretty much.
That's what you got.
Like, my coming of age was to, like, girl, you make me want to leave the one I'm with. No, but that's actually sick, too.
Yeah, you're after the Hammer Pants. That was after me.
That,
yeah, okay.
Sorry, before me.
Before you. Yeah.
I was more like, stop right now. Thank you very much. I need somebody with a human touch.
Yeah.
Pretty poetic.
I remember my older sister and I watched MTV Awards maybe 20 years ago, 25 yeah. years ago. And, you know, an artist come on, we go, oh, well, that's Neil Young. Another one, oh, that's Beatles. Another one coming, oh, that's kind of Crosby, Stills, Nash. You know,
it just sounds like old music.
Yeah, it was tough because I really didn't hear too much that was original. Then Radiohead came on, and then we went,
oh, okay. I'm so glad we could all agree on Radiohead.
Yeah, okay, nobody's done that before.
The great generational uniter,
yeah,
Radiohead.
Exactly. Just give me something I haven't heard before.
I have to say, I am 30, and I just hung out with some of my friends who are 21 and 23, and they yeah. were playing me some of their like favorite music.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait. This sounds exactly like Pinback.
Yeah. Right.
And like the bands that were cool in like the early aughts.
Yeah. The early aughts.
It's already repeating itself.
Right.
It's exactly. So crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Truly innovative band is hard to come by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. How in the fuck do you punch up Hotel California? Great question.
Great question.
Don't have an answer. Good night, everybody.
Maybe you do.
Yeah,
though.
I did. I did punch it up. I mean, I punched it some direction. Here's kind of my thesis on it. I feel like it tries to do what it seems like a lot of kind of classic rock songs tried to do, which was like gently and kind of ambiguously condemn-ish LA and like the rock's lifestyle while like simultaneously actively and consciously contributing to it.
Fair.
It's very strange, yeah. Like weird thing everyone decided to do at the same time. And so I didn't really feel like that made a lot of sense. I wanted the narrative to be clearer, especially since it's called Hotel California. And he doesn't really discuss anything that's like Californian specifically.
Except the wind in his hair in the desert.
Right, which is also like Utah and Nevada.
Yeah, good point.
Anywhere there's a fucking desert.
Yeah.
Other countries, other continents.
Mongolia.
Yeah, right. So I wanted to make it more Californian, and I wanted to make it a single narrative that doesn't just abandon itself halfway through. Like, what happened to the girl in the doorway? Where does she go?
I think she's still trying to kill the beast with her steely knife.
It won't die!
I know.
The blades are rusted.
I know, but oh man, what a mess.
And then the other thing I wanted to do was kind of update it. I wanted to make it feel more modern.
Nice.
But the music, obviously, you can't touch.
Yeah.
So welcome to 6.5 minutes of a punch up, baby!
Yay!
Did you steal this from Jethro Tull?
I stole this from Jethro Tull. And I did record all of these myself.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I spent 4 months recording the music.
Yeah, no, I'm sure you used the 12 string that I don't own.
But like, I want to give the karaoke website I bought this from big shout out. This sounds great.
It does.
Eagles are very sticky about filing copyright claims on any unauthorized versions of the songs.
Oh, really?
So it's very hard to find an instrument backing track.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
People are still in prison for this, and they are mostly not white.
Oh, man.
And it got me so angry that I started to scream. We gotta put all the cops in jail. Didn't anyone see 13th? Next thing I remember, I was running down the street. The police chasing me.
What? Oh, fuck. What? What?
Busy, bathroom's busy. Fuck, shit. It's busy. It just became like a different song. So angry. I'm pissing. It's a long piss. Who's he?
come from?
I don't know.
Ah, there's two of them! Oh my god, they're fighting!
Ah, my guitars are fighting!
Where'd it go? It's gonna be a while!
I think he's winning.
When did this other one come back? I know that solo. What is that? What song is that? Are they in love? Oh my god. Yeah, I know this song.
Oh, this sounds like Muse. A guitar here, okay?
Yeah, I know this song.
Knights of Sidonia.
I am a customer!
This one's hard.
Make the low one go. Oh, that's the end. Oh, okay.
And she's still in the Trader Joe's bathroom.
And to this day, she remains in the Trader Joe's bathroom.
God, you know who you sound a lot like?
Who?
Ricky Lee Jones.
Oh,
which
really?
Is a high compliment.
Oh, that shredded my voice doing that.
Yeah, I bet. But you sounded great.
Oh, thanks.
That was awesome.
That was very hard to sing, surprisingly. The whole time we're listening to the real version, I kept wanting to sing my version because I've sang it so many times.
Well,
now.
So all the foreshadowing of the captain shit, come on now.
Hey.
Yeah, well done.
Hey.
Well done.
That line had to stay the same.
Oh, yeah. Why are you calling me captain? I think you're a little too high.
I mean, listen, I just imagined, what if you had never been to a weed store before? What would that be like
That's
for
true.
You?
That's true.
Deeply unrelatable to me, which is how you know I'm so good at writing. Do you know what I mean?
I know. It must be a burden.
At one point I was like, what kind of music do they play in the vape store? That's when you know you've gone too far.
Well, I had my very first vape experience
like
a year ago, yeah.
Oh my God, in LA?
Yeah, no, in Portland.
Oh yeah, well, yeah. This could work for Hotel Oregon, Hotel Washington, Hotel Colorado.
Yeah.
I feel like the weed stores in LA though, because I've been to weed stores in Washington, Oregon, and actually every state it's legal. And California specifically, it's a subculture in its own right.
And probably fewer beards than in Portland.
Yeah, it just feels, and like now they play, like they used to, the weed culture of like stores has changed so much since it became legalized. And then obviously so much when it was just like medical licenses from dealers. But like, at least when it was like, you know, medical, it was always like some heavily tatted, really chill chick, like working the cash register. And she like mostly worked on tips. So she was like really helpful.
Yeah.
And she knew, she was such a pothead. She was high all the time. She was there and she had like cool, crazy earrings. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now it's like a bunch of bros and like button ups being like, welcome to the experience. What can I help you with today? And it feels like I'm in Silicon Valley every time I go into work. It doesn't feel safe to me anymore.
That's funny. I hate it. That's
like medmen.
Medmen?
Medmen.
Like madmen.
Yes.
Okay.
Except medmen.
Okay.
Already, I'm not included in that title.
There,
why would I
go.
Shop there?
Exactly.
Where's medwomen?
I know. Back in the medical marijuana. You have to go over there.
Left behind.
I know, as always.
Honestly, it's very confusing. I had to reference a few things in that probably didn't help my case.
Brilliant.
I knew making it, this isn't going to be one you laugh out loud to. This is going to be a thinker, and that's okay.
A thinker, not a stinker.
Also a stinker. I don't know. People are going to be mad no matter what.
Yeah.
I do want to, before we get to Unpunchable Jim.
Which ties back into the smell of the whatever.
Fucking
the
fucking colitas.
Colitas.
I want to shout out whoever it was. Somebody, when I posted to Patreon being like, hey, do you guys want me to keep doing the podcast? Like, what do you think? Did it like live and die with Demi? Like, is there a way to adapt it? Which, sidebar, this episode is very much per the old structure. Once Demi's officially gone, I'll probably be making some tweaks to the format and everything, so it'll be kind of a newer show. This is not a good example of that, but you know, one more for the road.
One more for the road. And by the way, don't worry, I can't even carry Demi's water bottle, so
this is just like the fever dream episode.
You won't be hearing me again.
People will, no, I mean, let's be real, we probably will, but people will either love or hate it, and that's fine. It's your prerogative. You're allowed to make your own choices, and I respect your boundaries. I do want to say before we get to I want to give a special shout out before we get to Unpunchable Jams to the person who subscribed to the Patreon just to comment how bad I am at this podcast. You had to pay me to shit on me. Well, and I feel like in that way I won.
I think that's a good deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Honestly, yeah. Thank you. I love being berated behind a paywall. What a fever. Okay. Should we get to Unpunchable Jams?
You can't punch this.
Dad, do you remember what this segment is from the previous episode you were on?
I do. It's like the song that can't be improved.
Exactly.
And I've got mine ready to go.
Tell me what it is.
When You Wish Upon a Star, sung by Jiminy Cricket.
When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you.
Dad, that's such a good one.
But actually, it's sung by a guy named Cliff Edwards, who played Jiminy Cricket.
When you
oh, come on.
Oh, it's so that song makes me cry every time.
Perfect song. Great melody. Great vocal. That guy,
so
Cliff
beautiful.
Edwards, totally overlooked as a singer.
Oh, that's such a good point.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you listen to that song regularly?
No, I don't. I just had to come up with an Unpunchable, and I thought, okay, what's a song that I can improve? And for some reason, that one just popped into my head.
I feel like every time I go to Disneyland, I hear that song at least once, and I remember, why don't I hear the song all the time?
Yeah, it's so pretty.
It's like how they hid those Powerline songs in a Goofy movie.
Yeah.
They really threw the song away by putting it in Pinocchio.
Yeah, well, and it was also released in like 1940, so.
Before Pinocchio?
No, that was when Pinocchio was released.
Right. They need to do like a Justin Bieber. No, who's cooler than that? Who's cooler than Justin Bieber? I'm too old.
Well, now who could do a ballad like that? I know.
Joji!
No, Bon Iver. Bon Iver does Pinocchio.
Upon a star, and dreams come true. But wouldn't again. This is just Holocene. I do. I love the way that he has like that tremolo in his voice. That's so.
When you wish upon a star.
Beautiful song.
It kind of sounds like he's sick, but in a good way.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's such a good choice, Dad.
Well,
I love that.
You. Well, thank you.
That and Somewhere Over the Rainbow just make me weep every time I hear them.
Exactly.
They're so beautiful.
Exactly. But Somewhere Over the Rainbow is so overdone.
Yeah.
Great song, but so overdone.
Yes, correct.
When You Wish Upon a Star, kind of a sleeper, kind of a
still
deep cut.
Hipster cut. You're going to say, I knew that song before everyone else did.
That's right.
What was the generation above you? The Greatest Generation?
Yeah.
By the way, like, rude to call themselves that, but okay.
Well, I think other people called them that.
I didn't.
No.
Millennials are the Greatest Generation.
Oh, well, what I
actually, let's be real, it's Gen Z. We all know it's Gen Z.
Yeah, I'm not going
to
argue.
But it kind of has a nice tie into the song, I feel like, because classic.
Classic.
Yeah. Hotel California, When You Wish Upon a Star.
That came out when, like, restaurants had captains.
Yeah, like, in a lot of ways, kind of the prequel to Hotel California.
Exactly.
So I want to do the postquel.
Ah.
What is that called?
I have no idea. You're on your own, kiddo.
The freequel. Anything I make. Stay tuned for the freequel. That's from Yale. Hey.
Hey.
I wanted to do a song that I think is by a modern rock star. At least I think history will regard him that way. He's actually fucking from California.
Ah.
And my favorite guitarist, I think, right now, alive. I think that's true.
Wow.
Is that true?
I don't know.
I think that's true.
Who is it?
It's Blake Mills, and the song is If I'm Unworthy.
Ah. Can't go wrong with Blake.
What if I'm unworthy of the power I own over you? What if I'm unworthy of the power I own over you?
Oh, the sound of the guitar on the song
is
so stunning.
He might be my favorite current guitar player.
That's what
I'm
saying.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
And don't you feel like, given his like insane track record, like, and now his work as a producer, like, he's going to be regarded like these rock stars? Like, his Wikipedia is going to be similar.
You know what? It's so weird because you know, he's going to do a record in this very studio. He's going to produce a record in this very studio we're sitting in right now.
That's so insane to me.
You know that? Yeah. And
for people that are assuming like we're more legit than we are, that's insane. That's truly insane.
Yeah, we're way up. We're 2 miles up a dirt road on
people
a
remote, that record
on a
here
island.
Usually just like a local lady with a mandolin.
Exactly.
That's insane.
But yeah, he's going to produce a record here. And then it didn't happen, unfortunately. But You know, I ask people, yeah, you know this guy Blake Mills? I mean, he's an amazing guitar player, great person. Nobody knows who he is, and I'm just going.
He also is a great songwriter.
Yeah, I know, and singer.
Yeah,
I mean, I love
his
voice
too. And now he's an incredible producer.
Yeah, and I don't know. So when you say he'll go down as, you know, kind of a legend,
maybe he'll be slept on.
I don't know. Maybe
the world's going to end in 2030. So who actually cares anyway?
Maybe it doesn't work that way.
But the thing I love about this song specifically is not just the guitar tone, although that's probably half of it. It's the restraint, because the whole band comes in at the end for like one measure.
Yeah.
And then it's over.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just tension the whole time.
Yeah. You know his favorite drummer?
Who?
Jim Keltner.
Who's that?
A guy older than me.
Still alive?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Still plays drums?
Oh, yeah.
And how would someone know him?
Oh, gosh. He's...
like a session drummer?
Yeah. He's maybe the... I mean, probably John Robinson's the most recorded drummer of all time, followed by like Hal Blaine, followed by like Jim Gordon. Jim Keltner's probably in the top five most recorded drummers of all time.
Wow.
Yeah, he plays with everybody. He plays with, you know, Ry Cooder. He played with George Harrison back
in the... I love Ry Cooder.
Yeah, he's amazing. He's like the ultimate field drummer.
Huh.
Ultimate
always
field
in the
drummer.
Pocket.
Always in the pocket. And playing cool shit, you know. He'll be like holding a jingle bells on his brush hand.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and then he'll like have a wallet, you know, taped to the floor tom so it's super dead. And he'll use a drumstick when he's using like a hot rod on the right hand. He's just so creative.
And how do you know he's Blake Mills' favorite drummer?
Oh, because he's on every song. Yeah, pretty easy. Yeah, pretty easy.
Dad. Thank you so fucking much for
my
doing
pleasure.
This. I know you're not like a podcasting person, so the fact you're willing to be
nope,
on
this is
air,
my second one.
I'm just so flattered that you're willing to do this. Thank you for sharing all this information, for knowing everything, for being a good friend to me.
Thanks.
You so much.
My pleasure, honey.
It was very fun. Do you have anything you want to promote?
I do not. Yeah, you.
You want to pull a mom and just say, Miel Bredo, and walk off mic?
The guy that doesn't like my daughter, fuck you, and don't listen anymore. We don't need your stinking Patreon money.
Stinky money.
Here you go.
If you want to follow me, I'm at Miel. This is, again, a weird interstitial thing. I appreciate your support throughout. Next week will be the live episode at Bumper Shoot. The week after that will be the live episode at XOXO. And then I'll have another announcement then. And then I'll try this again. And then I'll have another announcement then for you. And we will know more then. But until then, punch on, my wayward sons. Punch it on out. Can you help me, please?
No, you're on your own. Sorry.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Okay, that was
Punch the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
That was a HeadGum podcast.